And I'd like to ask you to open with me in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. And in the book Bibles that we've placed with you in the seats, it's on page 1248. Just a quick reminder that Paul is in prison in Rome when he writes this letter. And he is telling the people about his situation in Rome in the first chapter and exhorting them to live for Christ. We come now to the end of the first chapter, and we're going to read what is probably, if you had to choose one verse that summarized the book of Philippians, it would probably be chapter 1, verse 27. So again, if you have your Bibles, page 1248, Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 27. Please pay attention to God's blessed word. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened at anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it's been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engage in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Some of you are well aware of the fact that a few years ago, we started a Trail Life ministry, and some of you are very involved in that ministry. I hope that you know that their motto for their ministry really comes from the scriptures. Now, some of you may not know what Trail Life is. It's kind of a Christian version of Boy Scouts. And their motto is not taken from Philippians chapter 1, but from Colossians chapter 1. Their motto is walk worthy. Now, I understand that technically it should be worthily instead of an adjective. It should be an adverb, but that's okay. I'm not going to argue the point. Walk worthy, to have a worthy walk, to walk worthily. That's in essence what Paul is telling us here. He says here that, again, he's in prison in Rome. Philippi was in Greece, and he's absent from them. But he's hoping that their lifestyle will be such a picture that people would talk about it and that he would hear that they're doing well. And so this morning we're going to pursue the theme that the Christian life is to demonstrate consistency and unity. The Christian life is to demonstrate consistency and unity. Now, I would encourage you to have your Bibles open. Again, if you close your Bibles, it's on page 1248, because we're going to be looking at a passage both in the book right before Philippians and in the book right after Philippians, Ephesians and Colossians. So, the Christian life is to be one of consistency and unity. And so what Paul is exhorting us to do, and let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm. Now, there's four desires that Paul has under this idea of a worthy walk. The first one is that a worthy life means a citizenship lifestyle. Now, you're probably asking, where does that idea of citizenship come from? Well, it's interesting. The other translations translate verse 27 with the idea, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, our translation says, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. There are several words that Paul could have used that would have brought this idea of conduct or manner of life. But he chose here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a word that's pretty rare. It's the word, live as a citizen. It's the Greek word from which we get the word politics, or the idea of social acts, social groupings, politics. It's the word basically basically means a citizen. And now he uses the verb form here that let your way of life, let your way of life be as that of a citizen. Your way of life to be as that of a citizen worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, I think you recognize that Philippi was an important city in Greece, and it was a Roman colony. And by that, when Rome took over that area of the world, they established colonies. And so Philippi, in essence, was to be a mini Rome, if you will. It was to reflect Roman culture. It was to be a demonstration to the surrounding cities that this is what it's like to live as a citizen of Rome. So a person from Philippi was a citizen of Rome, was a Roman citizen. And there are several things that bound Roman society together. One was they had a common allegiance to the emperor. They had common language and common values. And they pledged themselves to obey the laws of Rome. Think about those things for a minute. An allegiance to the emperor. We have a different allegiance. Our allegiance is not to things of this world, but it's to the Lord Jesus Christ and his glorious kingdom. We have a common language. Our hearts should be filled with praise to our Lord Jesus Christ, to the triune God on a regular basis. We have common values. We're going to be looking at some of those values here in just a minute. But the values of the world are not to be the things that dominate our lives. As Augustine said, the cares of his past life fled away. So what are some of the things that we have to understand from here when it says, let your conduct, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ? What are some of the things that we have to understand to live as a citizen, to live as a person in a new kingdom? What are some of the things that we have to understand? Well, it says here that we have to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In our little sessions that we're having on prepared, confident, and eager to share the good news of Jesus, one of the first things we started to work on was getting the gospel right. Because you can't pass on what you've not defined. And so I encourage people to have a very simple, something they could give in 10 or 12 words or less that would catch people's attention. And then longer definitions that they could use if the opportunity arises. So my simple definition that I could give in 6 to 10 words is that the gospel is God's good news of a new king and a new kingdom. That's pretty simple, right? Is that everything that we need to know about the gospel? Of course not. But hopefully it's enough to get people's attention. It's God's good news of a new king and a new kingdom. So let me give you a fuller definition of the gospel. It's God's good news that he sent his son Jesus into this fallen world to live a perfect life, die a substitutionary death for the sins of people, rise victoriously from the grave, and thus establish a new kingdom of righteousness, peace, joy, and power for all who turn to Jesus and trust in him. So we are to live a life worthy of this message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish and have everlasting life. You need to live a life that is worthy of that message. Some of you will remember that during the French Revolution, the revolutionaries captured the son of, I think it was Louis the 15th. I always get my numbers wrong there. But they captured the son of the king of France. And they tried to entice him to do some very vile things. And his response was, I could never do that. I'm a child of the king. And so, my friends, you need to recognize that you are a child of the great king. In Acts 17, the people were complaining about Paul and his companions coming there. And they say that the people that have upset the world have come here, proclaiming that there's another king. You see, those pagans understood that the message that Paul and the apostles were bringing was that there is another king. So, my friends, I have to ask you, in what way is your lifestyle Is your lifestyle consistent with that new king? That new kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy, and power. And perhaps a more important question is, what in your lifestyle is not consistent with that new king and that new kingdom? Now, as I said, I'd like you to keep your Bibles open because we need to look at a couple of parallel passages. Let me ask you to turn to the front of your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, just the next book prior to Philippians. And I want you to look at a similar thought here of Ephesians chapter 4. Again, just one book to the front of the Bible. So just turn two or three pages probably in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. And Paul, it says there, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So a similar thought, Philippians 1:27, live your life as a citizen of that is worthy of the gospel. Here it is to live a life that is such a manner that is consistent with your calling to which you've been called. We're to walk this way. Now look at what Paul says. He starts to unpack what this idea of living a life that is worthy of your calling with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So part of what Paul is saying is that the way that you live your life as a citizen of this new kingdom is a person whose life is characterized by love. And Jesus told us in John chapter 13 that they will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And Paul here is saying, walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called is humility, gentleness, patience, learning to love. Now turn with me to the book after Philippians. So you've got Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And I want to pick up here in Colossians chapter 1. And as you know, Paul often gives prayers for the people, and he does so in Colossians chapter 1. And I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 9. And so from the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Same thought. Live as a citizen worthy of the gospel. Let us walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the light of the saints in the light. So Paul is giving us several pictures of what it means to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to live as a citizen worthy of this great news that God has brought into the world through Jesus Christ. Look at what he says here. We're to live in God's power. We're to live in steadfastness, in patience, in joy, in gratitude. These are things that should characterize your life if you're to live in a manner worthy of the Lord, to live as a citizen worthy of the gospel. These things should characterize your life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that your life as a Christian should make the non-Christian question his disbelief in God. Your life should be so radically different because of Jesus dwelling in you, if you've professed Jesus as your Savior and Lord, invited Him into your heart, and confessed Him before people. Your life should be so radically different that the non-believers would have to question their disbelief in God. Live as a citizen of the new kingdom, my friends. Because you have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Jesus has brought forth a new kingdom. No longer kingdom of darkness, now kingdom of light. Some of you know that many years ago when I took a break from college to And part of what I did is I went to traveled around Europe for a little while. And as we were doing that, it was always really a relief, really kind of fun, kind of enjoyable to run across people from America. We've had our English as a second language classes, and I've had opportunities to speak to many people from foreign countries. And they all took pride in their country. My friends, do you take pride in Jesus Christ? How is that demonstrated in your life? Because you see, you're to live as a citizen of this new kingdom. Live as a citizen that's worthy of this great good news that God sent Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So how is your life? How is your lifestyle? Is it worthy of that wonderful message? Or again, perhaps a more important question is, how is your life not lining up with that wonderful message? You see, Paul says, let your live as a citizen worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're to a worthy life means for us a life of citizenship. The next thing I want to share with you in these few verses that are before us this morning is that a worthy life is a consistent lifestyle. It's a consistent lifestyle. In Paul says here that whether I'm absent or I come to see you, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit. Standing firm in one spirit. The idea is that we are to not be easily dissuaded. That we're to so treasure Christ that our eyes are so focused on him that we're going to live for him no matter what. Paul talks about persecution here in a little bit, and we'll get to that. But even in the midst of persecution, we're to so treasure Christ that we're going to live for him no matter what comes. And so Paul says here that they're to be steadfast, with one standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians says that we're to be steadfast and hold to the traditions that you were taught. Ephesians talks about the idea of being tossed about like sand on the seashore, being captivated by every new doctrine, every new thought, every new philosophy, swaying back and forth. And Paul says, I don't want you to be that way. I want you to be steadfast. I want you to be resolute in the fact that you believe in Jesus, and no matter what happens, you are not going to deny Jesus. Have you made that sort of commitment, my friends? You see, we need to be consistent in the truth. Consistent in the truth that there is a God, and that God has spoken to his people. As Francis Schaeffer's little book, He Is There and He Is Not Silent. We have to believe that there is a living God who has spoken to us, who controls all things, who has set you apart as his special, or yes, I'll even use the word peculiar people. Because that's who he is. He has set you apart as his special people. And we're to cling to that truth. We're to live in it. The third thing that Paul says that we need to have, in addition to a citizenship lifestyle and a consistent lifestyle, is the idea of a cooperative lifestyle. Notice he tells us here that standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. One spirit, one mind. And it says here that we are striving side by side. It's one word in the Greek language, and it basically is the preposition with or together. And then it uses a Greek word that's going to sound very familiar to you. Athleto. I'll repeat it again. Athleto. What comes to your mind? It's the idea of an athlete, right? It's the word from which we get the idea of an athlete. It's the idea of working together. It's been kind of interesting if you happen to follow sports at all. Usually when there's a big game or a championship or something, they'll interview one of the key players, whether it's a baseball team or a basketball team or soccer team. And oftentimes that key player he'll say something like, I was just playing for my brothers. It was a privilege to play for with my brothers. You see, coaches understand that they have to have a unity. And so Paul is saying that we need to have a cooperative spirit, a cooperative spirit with other people. And my friends, do you treasure your brothers and sisters in Christ? You see, we're to cooperate with them. We have to help them because we're in this together. We're striving with one mind and one spirit. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and a bond of peace, Paul says in Ephesians. What are you doing to be diligent to preserve that unity of the Spirit? You see, our unity is based upon the fact that the Spirit of God lives in us. If you've, again, put your faith and trust in Jesus. So there has to be a cooperative spirit. The fourth and final thing that Paul says here, in addition to a citizen spirit, a consistent spirit, and a cooperative spirit, is the idea of a confident spirit, or you might even say a conquering spirit. Let me just read verse 28 to 30 again. And not be frightened at anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of salvation, and that from God. But of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. There's two words in these verses that I want you to notice. The first one is not be frightened or not to be alarmed. Not to be frightened or not to be alarmed. You see, Paul is saying to us, and he says, Paul is very consistent on this, so are the other New Testament writers, that there will be suffering that comes to God's people. There will be suffering. 1 Peter 4:12, don't consider the fiery ordeal that you're undergoing as some strange thing will happen to you. Peter is saying, you know, I understand you're going through trials, you're going through difficulty, you're going through persecution. Don't think it's something strange. This is what God's people are always going to face. The world will hate you. Don't be alarmed by that. Don't be frightened by that. But rejoice in that. So we're not to be alarmed. But the second word that I want you to note in these passages, the Greek word, is that for you it has been granted that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for him. The Greek word used here is the verb form of the word grace or favor. And so Paul is saying, you have been given a favor. You have been given grace to be able to suffer for the gospel. A very familiar passage where this word is used is when the angel comes to Mary and announces about the birth of Jesus. Mary had found favor in the sight of God. That's the same Greek word used here. It's granted for Christ's people. Granted. A gift of grace. A favor. That we have the privilege to suffer for him. 2 Peter chapter 3. And indeed all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In Acts chapter 5, I believe it's verse 44. They went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Notice that. Rejoicing that they had been able to suffer hardship for the sake of Christ. They've been able to suffer affliction. They were rejoicing in that. I've had the privilege over the years of reading quite a bit of works about the suffering church. And I know some of you pray for the suffering church. And it's so often interesting that they say how much of a privilege it was to suffer. In China today, much suffering is happening for the Church of Christ. And people are kind of taught that even though there may be a pastor come along with a lot of zeal, a lot of gifts, a lot of talent, that you really can't trust him completely until he's been in prison. Because it's when they're in prison and undergoing the suffering and the difficulties and perhaps even the torture, that's where God draws near to them. And so Paul says, for you, it's a matter of grace. It's a matter of favor to be able to suffer for Jesus Christ. So many that have suffered for Christ have said it was such a privilege to be able to do that. So my friends, it's not some strange thing that happens to you. It's just part of the Christian life that we suffer. Because the world will hate us. The world hated Jesus, the world's going to hate us. And part of the struggle that I have, that because I've suffered very little persecution, if any, certainly lost friendships over the gospel. But in terms of persecution, it's very little. And what troubles me is that because I'm not living for Christ as zealously as I should? Because indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So, my friends, I want to ask you the question, how is your lifestyle worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? How is your living as a citizen today, living as a citizen of that new kingdom, how is your lifestyle reflecting the beauty and the glory and the greatness and the majesty and the thrill of that new kingdom? How is your lifestyle reflecting the beauty of the gospel? You see, we need to live to have a worthy life, a life worthy of the gospel, a life worthy of Jesus. And we recognize we're saved by grace, but Christ calls us to faithfulness in order to live that life that's worthy, to have that worthy walk. We're to live a life as a citizen. We're to live a life that's consistent and that's cooperative and that's confident, or we might even say conquering there. In the Daily Study Bible, they tell the story of a veteran French soldier who, in the midst of a battle, came across a young recruit trembling in fear. And the veteran soldier said to him, "Come, son, and you and I will do something fine for France." You see, Paul is calling the people to do something fine, to live in such a way together that we can do something great for the kingdom of God. Because you see, together our lives are to be lived. Notice it's a plural. Let your manner of life, it's a plural there. Together our lives are to reflect the glory of the gospel of God. So what help do you need, my friends, to be able to live a life that reflects the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners? How is your life reflecting that beauty and majesty? Together, let's do something great for the kingdom of God. Would you join me in prayer? Thank you, God, for this opportunity that we have to worship you. And God, I pray that you would, even now, through your Spirit, search our hearts. As Psalm 139 says, that you would search our hearts and see if there be any hurtful way in us, and lead us in the everlasting way. God, would you please search our hearts now? And God, if there's things in our hearts that are not worthy of the gospel of Jesus, not worthy of the kingdom of Jesus, I pray you would just reveal those to us. And then, God, as the psalmist said, lead us in the everlasting way. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.